Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio episode 822. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have Paris in the house. Paris, what's up, man? What's going on?
How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. Well, didn't count the last episode? No? Didn't count?
Okay. See, he ruins everything. It's like, we recorded that in 2018.
I know.
It's a new year. And then you got to get technical on me. All right, you know what? Whatever. Just do the show. I'm here. Hi.
All right, and also joining me this week is Pete.
What's going on, Pete? 2019. How are y'all doing?
Yeah, man. Good, good. First live recording of GTR, man.
Yeah. We had our little round table there. Shout out to the new guy, Andrew, over at Twinfinite.
The new guy.
Shout out as well to Khalif, awesome, as always, from the Spot on Me podcast. Shout out to that whole crew over there, as well as Tony Polanco from the Throwdown. That was a great roundtable, man. I had a lot of fun doing that. Those are one of the things I look forward to when we get together and do those. We get to do those events where we just get around and basically, I'm glad that we stopped what we were doing and said, you know what, let's get a recorder and let's just get this on tape because this is great. So I'm glad we were able to do that. And man, way to kick off 2019.
It was good. It was really, really good, man. I really enjoyed it, man. So shout out to them and shout out to all the listeners that have been downloading and streaming the podcast. Very cool, man. So yeah, head over to gamertagradio.com, put your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. Remember, you could also find us on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a couple stuff to talk about here, but I'm going to start with this old audio. I think it was recorded a couple years ago. I can't remember exactly. Paris, I know you were the one that brought it up one time. Do you remember when was this recorded?
I need to know what video you're talking about.
The four skew conversation, the one that you were
I don't know. You say so many crazy things. Who knows when it was recorded? Probably 43 years ago. Now, I believe it was right before E3 2017 up in there somewhere.
43 months ago?
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to play this audio right here, and once we come back, we're going to talk about that conversation and how that relates to now. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, he's talking about the Xbox Slim going strictly digital. No disc drive in there. I believe I mentioned that a couple weeks ago, and that was my dream. And Pete and Paris try to shut it down.
Yep.
Saying, no, that's not going to happen. But in a way, he said that at least you have an option to buy a digital hard drive if you want to play digital. Or if you want disc, buy the older version.
Here's the problem.
Why not?
Here's the problem with both of your dreams. Because look, if I can't have Lost Planet, you can't have this either. They're not going to keep the old Xbox One in production. So where's the model with the disc drive? So you're telling me they're literally going to make two slim models, one with the disc drive and one without. I don't see that happening. Like I get what he's saying. I get what you're saying. If Microsoft had their way at the beginning of this generation, absolutely, this is what the Slim would be, because they want an all digital future. They want all your games to be digital. They don't want you to have a disc. But part of the appeal of having this Xbox One as all media device under your TV is that Blu-ray drive to play your Blu-ray movies. And eventually, we're assuming here, probably your 4K Blu-ray movies as well. So unless Microsoft's going to go with two Slim SKUs, I don't see this happening. Probably not until the next console generation, potentially, which, hell, who knows what the hell that is. It was the Scorpios. It might be Pisces or something. you know, Taurus. I don't know. So,
look, if they're gonna go with the whole, you know, Windows 10, everything. Paris, well, you guys play Steam. That's all digital content.
But that's not what the console.
But I know. But it's possible for them to say, "Hey, let's make that happen for consoles too."
What about the Blu-ray drive, though? What about, again, 4K Blu-ray? So just they're throwing that out the window. They don't care about that anymore.
Paris, as people say the same thing back in the days when they put an Ethernet cord in there, an adapter there for if people want to play like online games. Remember when everybody was still in the 56K modems using that?
But you're taking a feature away. You see what I'm saying? You're taking a feature away and you're not providing an alternative to it. That's my point. Is basically, in other words, only, hey, unless you were an early adopter of the Xbox One, no Blu-ray drive for you.
Let me ask you this. Which one you prefer? If you had a choice, disc or no disc?
Disc, because I'm a cheap wad, and if I buy a physical game, I want to be able to take it to GameStop, trade it in, or go sell it to one of my buddies.
Because look, one of my predictions too is that I could see Microsoft and Sony doing this. You could trade in your digital games to their store. You get a cheaper, money back, and you could use that as credit to buy whatever you want at their store.
Now,
that's possible too.
But now you're at the mercy of what GameStop and / Amazon, let's just say, says what your game is worth. You can't sell it yourself on Craigslist or something.
Isn't this something that Keon brought up like two voicemails ago or something
he may have
about digital content or something like that? Returning digital games for like 10% of the value or something like that because it's a digital product or whatever. I don't think that's a good idea. Simply, like Paris said, you're putting that concept of value out of the consumer's hands. If the consumer's paying $60, if they've had it for 2 days and they decide to return it, and GameStop or PlayStation or whatever marketplace you purchase it from gives you the opportunity to return it back for some sort of credit, how do they place a value on a returned digital item that you could have potentially copied, and or, you know, maybe you ran some kind of a program that did a mirror image of it, and then boom, now you've got that on your desktop, and now you're sending back a digital code. I don't know. There's too many variables in there from a technological, from a price, from a value to a DRM. There's way too many hurdles. In the theory, sorry to shoot your dream down here, but I don't think that's something that's
well
possible.
Originally, here's the thing though. Originally, that was the rumor back in 2013 that Microsoft was thinking of doing that back then, plus the whole family share and everything. And it made sense because at the same time, they can make deals with third-party companies and they will also get a cut too if you sell the game digitally back to the store. The thing is, yes, you mentioned GameStop, Best Buy, and all these other retail stores, but the companies that made those games are not getting the cut at all. So they would prefer to get something out of this, though, more than approving selling used games to the stores,
so,
to the retail stores.
So my other argument would be the whole concept of backwards compatibility that has brought Microsoft's fan base back up into a positive spin. You know, they just announced, you know, backwards compatibility has been working, I don't want to say flawlessly, but damn well close to it. I mean, I was playing Modern Warfare 2 just the other weekend, and it took a little bit of download. I had to download a 9 gig file to my hard drive, but it worked. There's still people playing online, apparently, also. But
wow.
Yeah. No, I dropped into Modern Warfare 2 disc into the Xbox One, did a download, had to download the maps, done. It was literally took me 10, 15 minutes to download a 9 gig update file. And I had already pushed all my game saves up to the cloud, so I wasn't concerned about it. But what about people unlike Paris who don't, you know, I believe he sold everything Xbox related and PlayStation related early on before the new gen consoles came out.
But what about people like me or you, Danny? Because I know you have stacks of discs as well, and you want to go back and throw that in. Oh, wait, there's no drive. How am I going to backwards compat now?
Yeah, you're right on that part. But at the same time, I still have my 360 console, and I've been downloading a lot of digital games too, last gen.
They don't make the 360 anymore. So what if you can't find one? Now you got all these games that you have no way to play.
I mean, for how long you guys going to be sticking with the whole 360 stuff?
But think about it.
You could download it digitally if you want.
Seeing that this is one of the big selling points right now for Microsoft's strategy, I think for a while. This is part of the point. This is why I'm telling you a disk drive is not going away. They're literally telling you, hey, we're going to allow you to keep your back catalog and bring it forward with you. And now you're saying,
why delete it? Why go and buy a new copy, a new digital copy of,
again,
even if it's $10-$15, why do that when you already have it in your drawer? And why do you want to keep
adding? It's a choice. It's a choice. If you want to keep your old hard drive, your old Xbox One, the older one, keep it if you want.
What if I don't have one? But what if I didn't? But Danny, see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. Let's say I have not bought an Xbox One yet. Let's say I'm just that old grumpy PlayStation 4 gamer. And I was like, man, it's good Xbox. Ain't getting that. And now all of a sudden you're like,
yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah. Now I want one. Right.
Yeah.
And I can't find the old one because they don't make it anymore.
Okay,
I'm giving you a realistic scenario. 6 months from now, that could be a realistic scenario. This is not me exaggerating, right? So my only choice, or I don't want a used Xbox One. I want a brand new one with a warranty and all that. The only brand new one I can get does not have a disc drive. I got these stack of 360 games that I still want to play. I have no way to play them because my old 360 Red Ring of Death, and Microsoft laughed at me when I asked them if they could fix it. Now, what do I do? This is why they're keeping a disc drive in there. They're not getting rid of it. Sorry,
you lose. You guys exaggerate. You're exaggerating.
Lost planet.
That's it. You will never find in 6 months. You will never find an Xbox One with a disc
but
drive.
But I shouldn't have to. I should be able to walk into a Best Buy and buy one brand new with a disc drive.
God. You're exaggerating. It's going to be there available at the store. Oh my God. All right.
Pete, is he not seeing my point?
I've seen your point.
They're
going to
discontinue the freaking giant microwave that is the Xbox One right now. They're going to make a slim model.
Why are you calling it a microwave, man?
No, because it's 40 pounds and it's humongous. No, but I mean, again, I understand your concept of choice and I applaud that. It's cute. But if I already have the disc in my cabinet, why am I going to give? Why do I want the choice of going ahead and buying another one? And like Paris said, if I didn't go ahead and buy an Xbox One, but I have this massive back catalog of 360 games still in my cabinet, and I want to play them, and I decide to go ahead and buy an Emerald, why?
All right.
All you got to do is throw the disc in. And at the same time, if you're unlike, and we'll go in the complete inverse, let's say you've got the 360 and you've got an Xbox and you got a PS3 and you got a PS4. Do you want to keep stacking consoles next to your TV? Like, when does that stop being fun? Like, having to go and pull out a new console just to play 30 minutes of
and it goes against Microsoft and hell, probably even Sony strategy when this Neo comes out of forward and backwards compatibility on your current system. So you don't feel compelled to have to run out day one and upgrade your system because your games are going to carry over.
You guys are going to be saying the same exact thing. Next gen. Same exact thing. Well, what about those discs? All those games that we bought on Xbox One on disc, how are we going to play those games on the next gen with no disc drive?
It's called they're going to keep a Blu-ray drive in there. That's what I'm telling you, Danny. It's not going away.
You know, Sony's not going to get rid of Blu-ray. That's how they're able to get so much content. And it's Sony's product.
Here's my reason. But here's my reason why before we go to the next topic. Here's my reason why. The thing is, remember, Microsoft has to pay a percentage to Sony because that's their thing, the Blu-ray. Am I right or am I wrong, Paris?
No,
every time they sell, every
company not named Sony has to do that. It's just part of business.
It's business, exactly.
Apple has to pay Samsung a license thing for using that. What is it? Their flash drives. I mean, and they're a direct competitor, so. So is Apple all of a sudden going to stop using Samsung products to make an iPhone?
No, but I'm saying eventually it's going to go away. That's what I'm trying to say. Oh. I'm trying to tell you. Eventually it's going to go away. So imagine Xbox 200 or whatever you want to call it. The next, okay.
You are correct.
Let's say
years from now.
Let me finish.
No, I'm being you. I'm cutting you off.
I know. I hate it. I hate you, Danny. So what if new system comes out, no disk drive, and everybody's complaining, oh my God, how am I going to put my Xbox One game on the next system? Dude, it's the same exact thing what you guys are going to be saying. Oh, well, they're not going to take that away. They're going to add that up. They're now going to remove the disk
drive. But Danny, go back to what I said last episode. Like, let's just use Xbox as the example here, right?
Yes.
You're going to have the Scorpio. The Scorpio will be able to play Xbox One games, right? And it's probably going to be able to play 360 games. Your Xbox One is going to be able to play 360 games, Xbox One games, and Scorpio games. And like we said, when we get to the system beyond the Scorpio, then it's going to be reasonable to say, you know what? That system probably can't play 360 and Xbox One games. That's my point. It's not going to be immediate. There will be time before we get to that. We'll be in the 2020s before you'll stop being able to play Xbox 360 games. So until then, guess what? There's going to be a disk drive in that system. Because if not, you're alienating your customers. Phil Spencer's going to get on that stage and he's going to tout backwards compatibility. He's going to tout all these great games on the 360. Hey, you got your old games, your discs, you're still going to be able to play them. And what you're saying is, no, he's going to get up on that stage and say, guess what, y'all? We got Xbox Slim, no disk drive. Remember all them copies you had? They're gone.
You're right. In that part, you're right. But this is the part that I think I'm right. I think that we might see not one, not two, maybe three different consoles announced at the press conference. And the reason why I'm saying this, Paris, let me finish before. Look, I think the reason why is because the choice from the consumers. You want disk drive? Go with that. You want digital? It'll be a little bit cheaper. Go with that. Or you want to wait for the big one, most powerful console coming out in 2017, or you could go to the cheapest one that we have right now that has been out since 2013. So we have four different consoles.
Oh my God. You're not doing that.
Let me dream.
I cannot believe you just said that. I cannot believe you just said that.
Let me dream. But let me dream.
Dream.
At least you have a choice.
Do you smoke the whole blunt before you start recording the show?
Yes,
or do
I
you
did.
Just
yes,
like,
I did.
Take like puff, puff, record?
No. You know what it is? I just feel that it I see it coming. I just see it. I see the digital. Trust me. Digital console.
They're gonna have four. I can't even talk. Oh my God. They're gonna have four consoles. Not four.
Not four. Remember, it's the older one from 2013.
Oh my God.
Two of like one digital and one disk drive. And the other one is in 2017, the most powerful one.
How do you say these with a straight face?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Hold on, Paris. Choice.
Hashtag choice. Let me dream.
Oh, my God. Confuse the living crap out of the consumer base. 12 consoles with different features. Danny's dream. Hashtag Danny's dream.
I can see my wife right now standing in Best Buy calling me on the phone. What the hell is all these damn Xboxes in here? Which one am I supposed to get?
All right. So you only think it's only going to be two and that's it. But
The last episode we talked about, Paris.
The last episode, they're going to have the streaming device,
that's
everything.
Different though. That's a tiny little box that you still need a gaming PC in your office to be able to play games because it's streaming from that. That's completely different.
But if your wife goes to the stores, they're not going to know about that. She's like, oh, $100? Oh, I could play games with this? All right.
A lot
of people are going to think that way, man. The regular consumer that don't read blogs.
No.
Am I right or am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Oh.
So, okay, so you're telling me there's people right now going into Best Buy buying Steam Links thinking they got a Steam machine, and then they get home and go, wait.
Well, first of all, people don't know what the hell the Steam Link is, the regular consumers. They don't know what that is.
But that would be the same thing with this Xbox TV thing. It's a different device. It's like an Amazon Fire Stick or an Apple TV. It's not a console.
But it depends on the name.
You're saying they're going to make a full, I can't believe we're still talking about this, but they're going to make a full featured Xbox One and just take the disc out, but then they're going to still make another Xbox One with the disc.
I just came up with that concept right now because honestly, I think they're going to come up with a digital one. Why not? Release it.
Not in 2016. Not in 2016. They're not. It's cost prohibitive. And it's confusing your market.
How many Xbox do you think they came out? Xbox 360s. It was like three, right?
Over an eight, nine year period.
Actually, four.
Yeah, not in 1 year. It was the Phil Spencer up there doing magic tricks with like 100 different consoles.
Which one will he pull out now?
Hey, look. Honestly, I just came up with that right now. Because I'm like, yo, it makes sense. They might announce two consoles, one digital, one not digital. I mean, I don't know, man. I feel that they should just announce this digital stuff. People are going to be like, Godfrey, you're crazy. But oh, whatever. It's all good.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so a couple days ago, Paris was the one that I think posted on our private chat about the future plans of Microsoft. So one thing that I noticed, listen to the audio that I just played on the podcast. We didn't mention anything about the digital games that they've been talking about now, that if this happens, this rumor that you could trade in some of the games and you get those games into digital for the new console and so on. So I know Paris is going to say, Danny, you were wrong. You were saying it was going to be 2016, 2017, whatever. I get it. I get that part.
You see, he immediately starts justifying it. Just point that out.
Yeah. But I'm just saying.
Well, I can't say a word. He's already telling me what I'm going to say.
No. I know what you're going to say from that part. But if this happens, listening to the audio, you guys said it at that time that it would have been a little bit too crazy for Microsoft to release four consoles in a very short amount of time to the public. Now that this rumor has been going around that there is plans that there are going to be multiple versions of the next gen console, and also keeping, I believe, the Xbox One X for the next generation. Do you think that's a bad idea?
I'm just letting you know you're wrong, because I already know what you're saying. So you're wrong.
No, what was I going to say then?
You're basically doing the four skew thing. I was right. No,
it is.
No,
they are.
They're
they
not.
Are. Yes,
they're
they
not.
Are.
They're not.
And one of them is the discless version. No, but one of them is the discless version. That's the rumor. They're testing the discless version for 2019, and hopefully they'll do that for the next
console. They're allegedly working on four different consoles, but none of them are one or two, maybe three, but I don't think that all four are going to be guaranteed to be released to the public. So your hot take from 2 years ago is still exactly that. It's just a hot take.
I don't know, man. Websites are reporting this, and I know it looked crazy at that time. But now
and it still is. They're not going to do that.
But Paris, you were the one that said they're going to have the different versions. Look, that's the thing that
can I ask this question?
But hold on. Can I finish?
Oh, here we go.
Can I
finish? Enhanced.
Can I finish?
Activate
I'm back.
Enhancement.exe.
The reason Xbox 360 was a success was because they have multiple versions. Am I right or am I wrong? A cheaper version and an expensive version. Paris, yes or no? Answer that question.
I can answer now. Ooh, okay.
Yes.
Give you permission to speak.
Yes.
See, I have an elaborate response to this, so I'm going to short answer no, but go ahead.
No. Why no, Paris? He's cracking up right now.
Because what they did, which is the same thing that they're doing right now, is they're basically just offering a cheaper SKU of the same piece of hardware so that they can have a bullet line to say Xbox starting at $299, whereas the one that most people are going to get is going to be the more expensive one, which is going to be the same thing that they're doing this time. And it's not going to be four different SKUs of it. They're going to have their quote unquote new Xbox One X variant of Scarlet, which will be the high end one. It'll probably be $500 or more. And then they're going to bring in one that's at a lower spec to say they hit $399 or $299 or whatever the case may be. That one probably doesn't do all the bells and whistles of 4K, 60, blah, 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 blah. But you can play the games on it. They let the Xbox One X stick around because it'll be powerful enough to play some of the next generation games at a lower resolution, you know, lower spec or whatever you want to call it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your mythical fourth SKU that you're trying to bring in here is basically any other platform, be it an iPad, Surface, laptop, whatever, that will be able to do the cloud streaming. So that could literally be anything, as long as it's able to do the cloud streaming and has Bluetooth enabled for the controller. That's it. That's not four SKUs.
I wasn't counting that at all. That was something separate about the
discless
the
one. They're not doing mobile. That. That's not happening. They're not doing
but that. That's a test. If they're releasing that,
they're not
going to
release it.
That's a test.
They're not going to do it.
Why not?
I'm just telling you because it's the most silly. Because it's the silly thing ever. Because you're basically, unless it's dirt cheap, unless it's just a dummy box that's $100, they're not putting out a discless console. They're not going to do that.
I think they are still, man. And you guys could call me crazy still. Crazy. I don't care. But they are. They are going to release that. They are going to. This is just a test. They're going to have the disc drive, the Blu-ray, whatever. They're still going to have that for the next generation console. But are they also going to have a cheaper version? What the rumor is, they're going to release two consoles the first year and then two more than the year after that. That's what I've been reading. So in a way, I'm kind of right. But I know you guys are never going to give me my props, but it's okay. We'll find out when they're sitting here trying
to have a parade for rumor and speculation. There's no validity to this. Phil Spencer's not stepped on stage one and said that this is what they're doing. Logic says that, sure, they might be testing concepts and doing, you know, focus groups, trying to gauge interest to see what it is.
Yes.
But when we get to the next generation of consoles, when we get to November of 2020 and they start releasing hardware, you're going to sit here and tell me that they're going to put out not one, not two, not three, but four different variants of that hardware at launch.
Listen what I just said.
I'm asking you.
Two and two. They're releasing two the first year, two the second year.
That makes no sense.
Okay. So when they do, you talk to Phil Spencer and I will say, Phil, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Okay. Because as a quote-unquote consumer, right? Yeah, I may want to get the higher end Scarlet, right? Or I can't afford the higher end Scarlet. You have an option for me to buy a cheaper one, or I already have an Xbox One X. You're basically telling me that it will be forward compatible. I can still use that. That's great. Fourth option is I have a PC, Xbox Play Anywhere, or I could do the cloud streaming.
There you go.
Those are your options right there. Now tell me,
Paris.
Tell me why in those scenarios I just laid out where this discless Xbox fits in and why are you putting out that SKU of hardware? Doesn't make sense. Either you have a disc in it or you don't. Period.
Paris, you were the one that sent me that link. First of all, I didn't know that rumor existed. And you were the one. But yeah, but it's rumors.
I'm not sitting here trumpeting it like it's fact. You're sitting here like it's fact.
But I'm just saying, I'm saying is, if that happens, then what? Am I still wrong?
We'll have to see when we get there.
Let's say if it happens. Am I still wrong? You're never going to give me props. I see you, buddy.
I love how he's telling me I'm not. If that happens, yes. Xbox might as well just stop making console. Just be done.
Oh, God, please. Please. Come on. Let me ask you this question. The key word
from
the audio was choice.
No, let me ask you. I understand choice, and I get choice. I do think they'll have a higher. Basically, they're going to repeat what they did now. You basically have an Xbox One X, you have an Xbox One S variant in Scarlet. That makes sense to me, right?
For launch, yes. For
but
launch,
why?
Yes.
But now you're putting out one that got a disc that don't. Again, I will bring you back to the analogy that I keep saying. You take my wife Roxanne and put her in Best Buy and say, "Honey, go buy the kids an Xbox." And she come back with the disc as one, and Trey's sitting there crying, going, "Mom, why'd you get this?" She's gonna go, "Well, I don't know what the hell I'm getting. It said, and it was $100. I figured I'd get it. That's what'll happen."
That's why I think that if they do manage to do this, they're not gonna release it. All of it the same year. They're gonna split it in 2 years. They're gonna release it.
You're insane. You're a crazy person.
All right, they're not all right. Doing that. I'm sticking with it.
Okay. And I can't believe we've spent the first 20 minutes of the show talking about this. But you're telling me that in November 2020 they're gonna put out two consoles, and then in November 2021 they're gonna release two more.
Yes. No.
Oh my God.
They're gonna release. Wait. Hear this. But hear this. So they're releasing two consoles in 2020, and the Xbox One X is already out. So you could add that in there, and they're gonna release one more the year after that. That's what I think.
So three consoles.
Pete, Xbox One X is gonna play the new, if the rumors is true, is gonna play the new console. That's what it is. The Xbox One X, but they're still gonna have two versions. What? Wait, it's true. No, Paris, it makes sense.
I'm trying to understand. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why wait a year to put out the new extra hardware? Why not just put it out all at once?
I think because they're going to have, like you said, the regular version, the most powerful one, right? Have another version that maybe it's like for streaming, right? And then have also the Xbox One X. Like you could have a choice to buy that and that would be the cheapest one. That's what I think. But they're both, there's going to be two with that you can still play with disc and one for streaming. That's what I'm saying. There's going to be one console.
Okay, streaming. You're talking cloud. You're talking the cloud, Project Cloud, right?
Yeah. But one of them, that one of those consoles, is going to be strictly streaming. That's what it is. And then next year will be all the digital one, all the strictly digital.
Wait. So you're saying they're going to, Xbox is going to put out a dedicated streaming console, right? Which.
Yeah,
isn't the craziest thing because they're pushing the cloud.
No, okay.
Let me finish. But then you're also saying they're going to put out a digital only console, and then on top of that,
launch.
Oh my
not
God!
Launch.
He won't let me finish. He will never let me finish. And then they're going to put two other consoles out. They got a disc in them. One's a high end one, and one's a low end one. So this is what you're telling me.
Yes. I think I understand what he's saying. So there's going to be the next gen Xbox One X, whatever it's going to be, the highfalutin Ferrari of Microsoft.
That's happening.
Uh-huh. There's going to be a variant of that Xbox One S that's going to be.
Here's in simple.
It's going to be a less expensive.
There's going to be a 4K Xbox and there's going to be a 1080p Xbox Scarlet. Let's say it that way, right? Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
The third one is going to be a discless streaming only one, which is what Danny's talking about.
Yes.
And then the fourth one will basically be that 1080p box that you talked about, but will be focused on the streaming, but will have a disc. Which to me, honestly, makes no sense.
Wait, what? I never said about disc in that. Well, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. But
so, what is the fourth one then? And so, Danny,
the fourth one is. Remember, Xbox One X. Now that console also gonna play the new consoles, and I think not by playing it by disc, but I think the streaming service is gonna work on that console. That's what I think was gonna happen. They're gonna announce it. And people have a choice to keep playing the old games regular with their disc, but you also download a special app where it will allow you to stream the new games for the next-gen consoles. Because remember, the rumor is in 2019, there is going to be a beta of their streaming service that they're going to have it, you know, as a test. And then the official launch of this, like to play the next-gen console, is going to be in 2020. That's what the rumor's been saying. So I'm not saying I'm 100% correct, but I know it sounded crazy back then, but yo, it now it makes sense. Like, you're gonna have different choices. If you even have a choice to now even buy the console, you just play on your tablet or whatever. You know, like, you're gonna have so many different choices. Like, it's not about the sales anymore or how many people bought that one console. What matters is that you sign up to this streaming service. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think it is gonna happen. But Paris is looking at me crazy. I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable, man. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I feel a little uncomfortable.
I'm just listening to you talking. That's all I'm doing.
All right. All right. Now, the conversation we were having, Paris, one time on one phone call we had sometime last year, we were talking about the streaming service, right? And you said that you think Microsoft is also going to charge that.
Yes.
That the streaming service, right?
They have to.
I don't know if that's a good idea. If they do, I mean, whatever. I think it might happen. Let me finish what I said about that. I think that they may be going to add that to either Xbox Live or Game Pass as part of the service, and that's what I think was going to happen.
So you're paying for it.
But go ahead.
Yeah, so you're paying for it. That's all I'm saying.
You're saying there's going to be three different services that you're going to pay.
I'm just saying there's no way they don't pass along all that infrastructure that has to happen, all that bandwidth that's going across the globe. Someone's paying for it, and it's going to be us. Microsoft ain't flipping the bill on that. They're passing that down to us. So you're correct in the sense that, yeah, maybe they bundled it into an Xbox Live Gold tier, Platinum tier or something like that. Or like you said, sticking on to the back of Game Pass or something like that. But there's going to be an extra cost associated to that you would have to opt into to be able to use it. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think that there's going to be an added cost on top of whatever, like, let's say instead of $69 for Xbox Live or $59, whatever it is, it's going to be like $75 or $74.99.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Or whereas, if it's going to be Game Pass, instead of just being like $9.99 a month, it'll be like $13.99 a month to pay for the month-to-month version of it.
Yeah, just think of it this way. And I know these are lame terms. You got Xbox Live Gold, that's your standard. Mm-hmm. And then you have Xbox Live Platinum, which comes with, you know, comes with the cloud service, right? Or you have Game Pass Platinum or Gold or whatever you call it that comes with the cloud. Or you then have another one that's all of them combined, which I really think they should do. They should have an all-you-can-eat subscription service for everything, which I think, I honestly think that's what they're going to do. Where cloud, the Gold, Game Pass, all that stuff is bundled into one package. You get a discount for the fact that you're getting all of them together. Whereas in that sense, maybe the cloud winds up being free because you're bundling it all together, something right. like that. Danny, Xbox is letting them know. But you know what I'm saying? But they'll do something like that. It just makes sense because it's very clear that's where Microsoft is going with the next generation in gaming. They're going to a subscription model, which I think is actually very smart and brilliant.
Yeah. Pete, what do you think about all of this, man? Before we go to the next topic, man, and we can stop talking about this.
I struggle to try to understand what the final fourth version of it. I don't think it makes sense for them to fracture their user base. We've seen what happens to the marketplace when you start to fracture your users. We've seen how Android has been dealing with it, right? You know, you've got, 50 million different devices all running different things, and It's not good for the end user at the end of the day, right? They just want a solid, standardized, single type of platform. And I think they're better off with the Ferrari and give them the minivan, which will give them, they don't have to have the disc, but it'll fully allow for streaming and or digital content or whatever. I think they're fine with just two consoles. Putting a third and potentially fourth one in there, it just adds too many variables into the mix.
So let me ask you this before we go to the next topic, Pete. If you have an Xbox One X and they say you could play this on Xbox One X, that's their third console, what I was trying to say the whole time. And you don't have to buy the new consoles, will you be okay with that?
No.
No? Why not?
Why would I buy another console if I've already got one? Like, what's the incentive?
Pete, you didn't even listen to what I just said. If you had an Xbox One X, let's just say, and they said, Microsoft says that you also could play the next gen games streaming wise on the Xbox One X, are you going to be okay with that? Because that's the third console that I'm trying to say, that you could, if you have the old console, the Xbox One X, then you might have a chance to play these new games streaming wise on the Xbox One X.
If I played console games, yes.
That's what I was trying to say. I'm not bringing up PC or anything like that. So, okay, that's it. We'll go to the next topic, man. But Pete, I'm going to call you out on this, man. A couple weeks ago, you were saying that there's too many digital gaming stores.
Mm-hmm.
You were not really a big, huge fan of Epic, the Epic store, right?
Hold on.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Don't put words in my mouth saying things I didn't say, but go ahead.
Okay, because there was too many digital gaming stores. Because there was Steam and the other ones that you have, right?
Right. I still agree.
But now,
I still feel the same
now, way. But now that was announced today, Ubisoft said that the Division 2 is not going to be on Steam. It's only going to be the Epic Store. Now what?
No, I think you need to correct your statement there. It's going to be come out on the Uplay store as normal, but they're foregoing going through Steam, and they had a partnership with Epic, and they're going to release it on. They're also going to co-release on the Epic Game Store as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I forgot to mention Uplay, but right. I was just comparing Epic and the Steam store. That's all. So your thoughts about that, them making that move, going to Epic instead of going to Steam? What'd you think?
I still stand by my previous statement. I don't like the fact that now I got to have 43 different launchers on my computer. It's bothersome and it's annoying. I don't control that, though. I am going to go through Uplay. I don't have a reason or a need to go through Epic to buy the Division 2. I'm going to go through the primary platform delivery system, which is going to be Uplay at this point. Not happy about it.
Okay.
But it is what it is. And that's what, you know, that's, it's good for the business, and it's good to see that Uplay or Ubisoft in general is supporting alternate people other than just Steam. Because by allowing Steam to run rampant and be the only delivery service does allow for a monopoly type system, and it's not cool. Mm-hmm. It's convenient for me. It's convenient, but I understand the reasonings, or you know, the alleged reasonings for it. We don't know what happened in the back end. We don't know if there's any obligations from a financial perspective. I don't know if there's any compensation or whatever. We don't know that, and we'll likely never know that unless somebody else goes digging. But I don't see it as a bad thing.
Yeah. Paris, your thoughts, man, because I know you at North Carolina, you brought that up a lot, that what Epic is doing is a big thing, that it's going to make a huge change, and competition is going to be good in 2019 and beyond because of it. Your thoughts about this announcement today, man?
Yeah, look at the disruption it's already caused. Ubisoft, one of the big third-party publishers, is not putting arguably their biggest game of 2019 on Steam. They're putting it on Epic and keeping it on their own store. I'm actually surprised that they put it on Epic, because I just kind of assumed that they would just go Uplay only, because I kind of think that's where we're going with the big publishers that have their own stores. They're just going to stay in-house. They're not going to go to these other platforms. So the fact that Ubisoft thought enough of what Epic is doing to partner with them and put one of their biggest games on that platform and not put it on Steam says a lot. It will force Steam to change. They're going to have to. You adapt or you go extinct, right? They're going to have no choice. So the fact that Epic is doing this, it's going to force change with Steam. It's going to help out more indie developers because of this. It creates competition, and overall, it's a good thing for developers, and is even going to be a good thing for us. And I understand what Pete is saying. Yeah, it is annoying as hell to have so many different clients on our machine to be able to play the games that we want. I try to consolidate them as much as I possibly can. But yeah, I mean, I think Epic entering this market is a good thing. And they're just going to continue to disrupt what we think about it. Steam has not had any real competition in over a decade. So they're finally starting to get it. And we'll see where it goes. It's going to make GOG step up their game. It's going to make, the Uplays, the Origins of the world, have to step up what they're doing more to provide more incentive for people to want to go buy the games directly from them instead of the Epic store. So it's a good thing.
Yeah. yeah, for those that are listening, are you planning to get this game through the Epic Store or Uplay or what? Just let us know. Hit us up at the voicemail, and we definitely will play it here on the podcast. All right, P, I know there was other topics that you want to talk about, man.
Well, this is aside from aside from the Epic announcement, you know, they announced their Division 2 system requirements. They will support 4K resolutions, uncapped frame rates, multi-monitor displays, and everything else in between. Requirements are moderately beefy. I'm looking forward to it, obviously. I know Paris and I, we talked about that when we were in North Carolina a couple weeks ago as well. Like, we can't imagine what it's going to look like. I mean, just from what we saw, we can't imagine what it's going to look like in full PC glory. So that's I'm highly stoked and amped about that. I know you guys are as well. Conversation I wanted to have with Paris was regarding Destiny 2.
Why are you bringing that game up? See, for the record, I wasn't bringing it up.
I understand that. But it was a good conversation. I think it's a good conversation to have. So they had a new Forge come out. Was it Niobe Labs? Am I pronouncing it correct? There's a new puzzle, and apparently it still hasn't been broken.
No, it has not. So much so that Bungie was forced to unlock the Forge just so people could get in. Because it's basically the hardest content they've ever put out. No one's been able to figure it out yet. And it was meant to be a collaborative effort similar to like Outbreak Prime when that came out during Destiny 1, where the entire brain power of the community came together to solve a puzzle, right? That's what this was supposed to be to get into Niobe Labs. And quite frankly, no one's been able to figure it out. There's been groups working on this at this point of this recording over 30 hours trying to figure this out. And they haven't done it yet. So Bungie made the call that, all right, we want to get people to actually start playing in the Forge and take advantage of that. So they just went ahead and unlocked it this afternoon so people could jump in and start playing that content. I'm of mixed feelings of this. I've seen both arguments, and I think they're valid, that why did Bungie make this so hard? You know, you're locking content behind something that is requiring one group to figure out to unlock and everyone else, you're gating content that way. And then I see the other side of it where this is exactly the kind of stuff that we're asking for. We're asking for these collaborative challenges, these right, exotic type of puzzles that were going to be very hard to solve, that was going to require multiple people to get involved to figure them out. I also see the third side of this where people are upset saying that Bungie is creating content that caters to streamers and the fact that this is something that people have literally spent hours. I say literally a lot. I got to stop doing that. But people literally have sat hours on streams watching these big time streamers trying to figure this out. And the argument is Bungie just makes all their content for streamers. They're not making it for the every person. The same goes with the raids, with the world first stuff. They make them these events that are watchable versus just playable. You know what I mean? So I see all sides of the argument. Me personally, I've actually not even logged into Destiny this week at all. I've just been so busy with other things, but I've been keeping up on what's going on. I mean, I'll jump in this weekend, check out the new Forge and stuff like that. But I already knew I wasn't smart enough to figure out the puzzle, so I didn't even try.
Are you okay with them making content that's going to be difficult and it's not going to be something
yes,
like world first in 3 hours or something like that? And on the converse, are you cool with them, with Activision and Bungie basically being impatient and saying, you know, we're just going to unlock it just to shut the masses up?
I live by the philosophy of give me hard content, give me things that are not easy, give me things that are challenging, and that's kind of the balance that Bungie has been trying to figure out of what is challenging enough to keep people engaged, but what isn't so challenging that it's absolutely beating them over the head, and don't make it too easy so people just blow through the content in 5 minutes. It's a very fine line. I look at something like a Shattered Throne, which comes around every 3 weeks in a Dreaming City, basically a three-man raid. It's a dungeon. Right. That's the kind of content I like to see. I do like the attempt they made with Niobe Labs of just the community effort of figuring it out. They just made it a little too hard. Again, it's a living game that has been around for 4+ years at this point. So, you know, they're constantly updating, evolving, and learning and all that kind of stuff. So
again, I'm okay with what happened this week. I know a lot of people are not, but that's just me because I already knew like I said, I wasn't going to be smart enough to figure it out, you know, from the get anyway. But I like the fact that it was bringing the community together to try and do something together.
Cool. Was there any other topics, Pete? Because I don't see yes is going
see,
on now.
Danny don't care.
Was there any?
Danny doesn't care at all.
No, because I don't play Destiny. I haven't been playing it for a while, so I don't.
Hey, what platform are you going to play the Division 2 on? What platform are you going to play the Division 2 on?
Yo, that's none of your business, man. That's none of your business. Hey, I'm going to go play in a ColecoVision. ColecoVision.
It's not on the ColecoVision.
I do actually.
Yes, it is. Exclusive.
All right, actually, and I have another one for Paris, actually. I want us to rewind back a few months. Now that you finally played Spider-Man for PlayStation 4, where do you put that? Like,
wow, I love how I can't even break that news on a podcast myself. You got to do it for me.
You've been talking about it on Twitter, whatever. Now that you've played it, can we would you revisit your Game of the Year discussion? And if you would, where would you put it?
I refuse to answer your question. I would probably put it, to be honest with you, that's actually a really good question. I would probably put it third, I think. I think it fits right in there. You know, I haven't beaten it yet, but from what I've played so far, it probably wind up being third on the list. It's definitely in the top five for sure.
Okay, cool.
God of War is still the best game that came out last year. And I know people get mad. Well, Paris, you've not played Red Dead, so you can't say that. How about this? I've seen and heard enough about what Red Dead is that I will stick by what I say. God of War is still better. How about that?
Wow.
He'll be waiting outside on his front lawn taking all takers.
Yep. Remember, hit him up. Vicious696. Vicious696 on Twitter.
And I'm firm in saying at this point in the game, I will not play Red Dead until it's on the PC. My next big game to play is Metro Exodus. I cannot wait for that.
That looks good.
Oh my God. I cannot wait to play Metro Exodus.
The collector's edition came out today.
Yeah. They made one that there's only 10 versions of it or something crazy like that.
Yeah. It's something crazy, but it.
I'm telling you, people are sleeping on Metro Exodus. The fact they're going open world with that too, the first two games were fantastic. It's a great first person shooter. I'm telling you that when we're at the end of 2019 talking about games of the year, I bet you it'll be up there close to the top five. I will not be shocked to see that. It's going to be.
And
that
they moved
good.
It up. They moved it up to February 15th.
Yeah, it's on the 15th. They actually did that a couple months ago. They moved it up to the
15th. Yeah. Paris, but why would you call this game sleeper? The sleeper of 2019. I don't see that. This game looks big.
No, really? because even the first, if you go look at the sales of the first two Metro, it's not a huge seller. It's critically acclaimed, but I don't think it has the wide appeal. I don't think it has the awareness of the greater gaming audience. I think people that have picked it up and play, it's like Titanfall 2. Let's take it that way. If you play Titanfall 2, you freaking love Titanfall 2. It's one of the best campaign stories we've played in a long time, right? But not a lot of people played it due to EA and their silly marketing. So I'm not saying that Deep Silver is the publisher for this one. I don't think they've marketed that game enough. I really think it doesn't have the awareness that it should, because forget the PC version, even that Xbox One X version of it.
That's the one I played at E3. Man,
freaking I'm damn near almost tempted to get it on Xbox One X. And then I remember I got a kick-ass PC, so F all that noise, I'm getting it on PC. But it looks really good. And I'm telling you, people are going to be sleeping on that, especially since it's coming out the week before Anthem. Kingdom Hearts comes out right before Crackdown the same day. And then there's something else coming around there too. That Far Cry expansion. I think those games are getting more attention than Metro does. But at the end of the day, Metro is going to probably wind up being the best game of that bunch.
Better than Kingdom Hearts, though? I don't know about say. I don't know.
Okay. To be fair to Kingdom Hearts, I've never played one, so I'm ignorant to it. I don't know. So you're right.
Okay. Besides the other ones, I could see where you're coming from, you know. But yeah, I'm very excited to try it out, man. The game looks good, and according to Pete, he's the only one that played it.
Yep.
He's like, yo, it's really good.
It's legit. Really, really good. It is legit. It And you don't even, I don't think you even have to have played the previous Metros. And I think I recall asking that of the developer when he was there. You don't have to have played the previous ones to jump into this. Mm-hmm. So it's going to stand on its 2 feet. I played it on the Xbox One X at E3 and I was mind blown. I sat there and like, they were like, all right, time's up everyone. And I'm like, no, can I just get like 3 more minutes, man? I just want to finish through this. It's that good. And if that's and that's just a small sliver of what we're going to see when that game comes out next month. I'm with Paris. I very, very good possibility. Top 5 game of the year right there, possibly. It's got the chance, dude.
I'm telling you, I'll say this pop culture real quick. So I've only recently gotten into Rick and Morty over the holiday. I never watched Rick and Morty until this holiday, and then I binge watched the first 3 seasons. So for those of you that do know what Rick and Morty, I might have to start the Council of Parises so that I can play all these damn games, because there's just not enough for me to go around to play all these games. There's so many games coming out the early part of this year, plus the back catalog of stuff that I'm still trying to get through. That, man, it is such a great time to be a gamer, man.
Absolutely.
It really is. If you're into, which by the way, I have to say this. So I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, and I like to talk trash on Twitter with other fans and stuff like that. It's a good thing. So even there's been trolls of my team. So there is a troll of my team and he was talking trash to like a couple of the Buccaneer players. So I responded to him and was like, dude, you're a grown man. Why are you trolling professional athletes? You can't even do what they do. Talk questioning their effort like that. Right. So he obviously looked up my profile. So he got mad and started responding to me, shut up, nerd. You're just a video game player. Go play your Fortnite, blah, blah, blah. And then I responded to him. I go, I'm actually proud of being a gamer. What you're saying right now is not hurting my feelings at all. And I just made him feel dumb. So guess what he did? He freaking blocked me and he put his account on private so no one could respond to him. So this is how don't let people on social media bully you. Respond back to them, let them know they're idiots. Because the bully will be the first one to run.
Don't let him go.
Yeah. Call him out. But there's another game, too, that we forgot to mention that's coming out actually the end of this month. Resident Evil 2 Remake. That looks fantastic. I can't wait to play that game, man. Well, you played it with me, right?
Yeah, you and I played it at the booth behind closed doors.
Yo, it's a totally new game. It doesn't look
Look or play at all the original
at all.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, it looks really good, man. I know, man, it's getting a little crazy right now. We just started the year, man. So for those that are listening to the podcast, let us know tell us which of these games are going to pick up. It's going to be one, there's going to be two, maybe more. Hit us up, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR, and let us know which games you're going to be picking up now during the early 2019 and why. And we'll definitely play that in the podcast. Hey,
I have a hot take question. Everybody says 2007 was the greatest year in video games.
It is.
Does 2018 hold a candle to it? And does the potential for 2019 even sniff it?
I don't think so. I say no.
2018 was a
good
year, but not better than 2007.
Off the top of my head.
2019, what?
No, I was just going to say, go ahead, Danny, then I'll
jump in. 2019 has potential to be a better year than 2007. We'll see. It's still early, but it's looking really good.
Off the top of my head, 2007, Halo 3, BioShock, Mass Effect, Uncharted, Super Mario Galaxy, Portal. I'm missing something else.
Mirror's Edge. Mirror's Edge came out that year too.
No? Was it? I can't remember.
But
like I said, this is just off the top of my head. I'm thinking from 2007 alone. That's 6 games that are still impactful to this day. Oh, Modern Warfare. That's what I was thinking.
Oh yeah,
think about that.
That was a
completely changed the game.
Completely changed online multiplayer.
So I will sit here and say with great confidence, no, 2018 did not have the impact of 2007.
There was a lot of good games.
Yeah,
in 2018, but not like 2007, man. Those were just classics back to back, man. Mm. But 2019, Paris, it has the potential to be better than 2007, though. With all these games now, it's looking good for 2019. What'd you think?
I see. It's funny. I almost feel like this is kind of, yeah, we're getting some heavy hitters early on. But I almost feel like those were games that were afraid of Red Dead, so they pushed into the first part of the year. I look at the back half of 2019. I see Gears 5. I see The Last of Us 2. I don't know what else that we know of today that is coming out the rest of this year that is going to have me jumping up and down excited. I know Days Gone is coming out. There's the potential of the Ghost of Tsushima, or however the heck you say it, is coming out. The potential of Death Stranding, which, by the way, I don't even think that's going to be a good game. Fight me on it if you want to. I have not seen anything from that game that tells me it's going to be good. I just think I think everyone's going, giving it love because it's Kojima. But I haven't seen anything of the game itself that makes me go, yo, I can't wait to play that. I have yet to see
it. What about Cyberpunk Paris 2019?
That's not coming. That's not coming.
No? I think the announcement happens in 2019, but I don't think it launches in 2019.
Chat room just said Metroid. So Metroid, I could see that. Metroid 4. That potential.
Well, it's not officially confirmed.
I know, it's not official.
2019.
Yeah.
Danny, Shenmue 3, 2019?
Yeah, I'm excited for Shenmue. I have to it's like you watch Star Wars, the trilogy. That's it, man. You gotta watch it all, man. So at least you have the story there, man. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, I think that 2019 is going to be a pretty good year. And the scary part is we don't know what Nintendo has planned for 2019, man. The only thing we know is Pokemon. That's the only thing that we know. We have no idea what they're going to be releasing for this year. And their games for the Switch has been really good so far, man. First party wise, it's been really, really good. So that's scary. Anything else?
Well, I think that's it.
That's it. All right. Well, this is going to be a long episode too, because the audio that we play is like 17 minutes long, so it's good. Yeah, man. So everybody head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, and let us know your thoughts about this episode. By the way, Monday's episode is going to be really cool. We're going to do something different that we have never done before. I've been collecting and searching for a lot of like old fan mail questions from like 14 years ago. Some of them is from Pete, from Paris, and our friends. I found them. I found a lot of them. So I think it will be cool to play it on the podcast and answer the question, talk about it, to see what happened at that moment. And I think it's going to be good. We're going to have a great, great conversation, man. You know, so I have a lot of audio. Probably going to do a lot of those in the future too, but this is going to be the first one. So I'm very, very excited about this. I'm still searching. So we're going to play here. This is strictly going to be an old school edition of fan mail. So hope everybody likes it, man. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Anything else, guys?
No, I think that's it.
I think that's about it. First new podcast of 2019.
I had to start the whole four skew, man, because, you know.
Oh, okay. A controversial topic. Mark the tape. I'll say this as we go out. This will be the last E3.
You know what's crazy? I told Paris the other day, I was like, you know what? Until I don't hear the ESA saying, okay, the media badges, the registration is open, I don't want us to book a hotel yet. I don't. I want to make sure that everything is 100% for us to like book it, and then we'll make plans. But the more I hear this, the more I think is very true. I think so too, man. Pete, you agree?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, typically we've already gotten that taken care of. We've already, you know, we usually walk into 2019 with everything already booked for the following year, but
yeah.
I don't feel comfortable. I just don't feel right about 2019 and E3. And even if they announce it, I just don't know.
I think that E3 is going to continue, maybe in a very small way. It's not going to be the same how it used to be. That if it continues, but I mean, Microsoft's still going to have their events and so on. But yeah, dude, I don't know. Like, the rumor is that this is going to be the last E3 in LA. After that, where are they going to go? Las Vegas, another city, or what? I don't know. It's going to be weird, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
We've seen it all.
Yeah, we'll see.
We've seen it all.
Oh, yeah. Before we get out of here, so Danny, you can take a nap because you don't have a PC. From CES, a couple things. NVIDIA announced their RTX 2060. Do not buy it. It is a flipping ripoff at the price. Go get a 1070. And AMD announced their Radeon 7, which spec-wise, pretty impressive, and it's comparable to a 2080. And price-wise, pretty decent. I think we're starting to see the direction of what the GPUs are going to look like for the next consoles. Because, look, we already know they're going to be AMD, right? So this might be our first glimpse into what we can expect GPU-wise for the next generation consoles. So just interesting stuff. And because I know a lot of people, I've had people hitting me up recently, you know, obviously with the holidays, getting Christmas money and stuff, looking to build PCs and everything, which, by the way, I'm building a PC with my daughter, which is exciting. I gave her a nice education on why you don't walk into a Best Buy to buy all your parts and you get them all online. I took her into Best Buy and she got sticker shocked like a mug as we priced everything out compared to what it would look like online. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is I know a lot of people start thinking about building PCs and all that. Stay away from these NVIDIA cards, these new RTX cards. It's a ripoff. It really is. Go with the Pascal cards, go get a 1080, go get a 1080 Ti, 1070. Now. You know what I mean? Because performance versus price, those are a lot more comparable than what you're going to get with these RTX ones. And not to mention, there's no freaking games to play in RTX right now anyways. So if you're itching to buy a new PC right now, I would definitely stay away from these RTX cards. And if you don't believe me, go watch a Jay's 2 cents video right now because he has just been ripping them left and right and he's the guru, not me. There you go.
But you see why I haven't invested to buy a PC yet? It's because it's confusing. Like, there's so many things. Every year, there's something new. To me, it's, like, confusing. So I prefer to get a console, and I just have that console for a couple of years, you know, until the next one comes out. So that's the main – I mean, to you guys, because you guys understand everything, but there's a lot of people like me that is just too much, man. It's confusing as hell, man. You know what I'm trying to say? And the price and everything, so like, just pay $500 and less for a console, and I'll be okay. I mean, personally, for me, you know,
right.
What I'm saying?
It's not for everybody. But like Paris said, he's had his PC for a couple of years now, and it should last him more than enough until Cyberpunk 2077 comes out. And that's when he's going to pull out that secret credit card rocks don't know about. But like, yeah, if you get a moderately or a very well put together PC, you can go for a good 4 or 5 years before you have to start looking and investing into, you know, upgrading and rebuilding your stuff. That being said, I mean, this new that new card from AMD looked rock solid. If you watch the AMD press conference, Phil walked out there and said, you know, we're going to continue and work on this partnership with AMD, so that strengthens that AMD bond, and that's only going to make whatever, you know, Microsoft does with their Xbox consoles that much better.
Yeah,
you know, cool. having that close quarters familiarity with the hardware, being able to work side by side with them. I don't know if they're going to actually start getting AMD cards put in there, if they're going to get Radeon 7s or whatever, or if they're going to put special Xbox-specific hardware in there. You know, who knows? But, I mean, this is only good for everybody else. I mean, it's good to see NVIDIA, you know, start to get forced to start making moves to basically avoid happening to them what's been happening with Apple, where they're no longer the innovators, are trying to keep up with everybody else now, right? Mm-hmm. We shall see.
By the way, before we wrap it up, I just remember this right now. Shout out to PlayStation, man. PlayStation 4 now has, I believe, 96.1 million consoles sold. Am I correct? Is it 96.1?
Was it, or was it 91?
Something like that. It's around the 90s, but I think they're going to hit 100, over 100 million by summer, before summer, for sure.
You know,
so that's good. Props to them.
You know what's funny? I had said on Twitter, and I won't out the person because we had a DM conversation about it, but I had said on Twitter, I think by the time PlayStation 4 gets to the end of its lifetime, which, you know, probably be mid-2020s we could expect, right? Because it'll still sell.
Yeah.
That it'll get up to 110 million by the end. And this person disagreed with me because this person's in the industry and broke it down as to why it won't. And I agree with him. I actually, by the way he explained it, I agree, because the way, and I won't get too in-depth on it, but the way hardware has shifted now, because the Xbox right now is a great example of this, it has pretty much full backwards compatibility. And we can expect the next Xbox and the PlayStation 5 to also be backwards compatible, at least until the PlayStation 4, which means that a person that wants to play PlayStation 4 games doesn't have to buy a PlayStation 4 to do so. They could probably get a PlayStation 5, play the old games and the new games, which means not as many people are going to be buying PlayStation 4s, even though they'll be cheaper as we move into the next console generation. So it was an interesting conversation, kind of a little insight on that. So I actually kind of agree with him. Yeah, I think it'll hit 100, but it won't. Basically, there won't be 20 million more PlayStation 4 sold by the time it ends, I think, after I had this conversation.
Yeah, I want to correct this. It's 91.6. Shout out to chat. 91. Blitz. Yeah, Blitz puts it up. So thanks, man. So yeah, 91.6, man. That's a lot of consoles, man. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, shout out to them, man. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here, and stay tuned for the next episode of Gamer Tag Radio. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.